What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, June 18th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
Not much. Oh, wow. We get the echo from Kevin. Wow. I like that a lot. You know what I mean? Blessing, I believe it was yesterday when we recorded the Kind of Funny Games cast, The Last of Us Part 2 spoiler cast that will go live tomorrow, Friday. Don't watch it until you beat the game, of course. And also, you know, best friend note for everybody out there, it's up. Everything's up. All the embargoes are free and clear. Everything can be talked about. So you should stay away from everything right now if you don't want to know anything about The Last of Us Part 2, because it's out there and all this stuff. But I made a joke about we'll be talking about The Last of Us Part 2 until Blessing Adeoye III is hosting these shows. And I just wanted
to... Are you about to announce something?
I just want to pat myself on the back that was a really good joke. You know what I mean?
Oh, it was really good. I thought for a second you were going to be like, and joining us today is Blessing Adeoye III.
From the future, Blessing Adeoye III.
Some like into the Spider-Verse interdimensional type stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd be down for it, though, to meet my son already, see him growing up. See him as a podcaster talking about The Last of Us Part 2. You get to have the conversation.
Would you already worry about too much of your future being known? I watched Arrival again last night. You know, time a big part of that movie.
Ugh, what a shit movie.
Jen said she wanted to watch it again. I was like, really? All right.
You know, I was scrolling through Netflix yesterday, kind of just bored, trying to look for something to do, trying to find
bored
something to watch. Yeah, and I was in the house bored. And I came across this movie called...
What the fuck is happening to both of you guys?
It's a TikTok, Kevin. Get on my Kevin, generation
download,
level.
Download
what
TikTok
is a TikTok?
Start scrolling. Oh man, it's a magical place. So I came across this movie called Molly's Game, and I had never heard of this movie.
Oh, Molly's Game's fucked up.
I'd never heard of it before. I had no idea what this movie was, and the trailer started playing, and the first two people I saw in the trailer were Idris Elba and Michael Cera, who are two of my favorite actors of all time. I love those two, and I had no idea they were in a movie together. And so I was like, yo, I'm stopping everything. I'm watching Molly's Game. I made about 30 minutes in before I was like, I don't like this movie. I'm not watching.
I was thinking about a different movie.
Yeah, you thinking of Gerald's Game?
That's right. Molly's Game is interesting, though. It's got Pikes a lot of pretty people in it.
I forget. What's the point of Molly's Game?
She's a gambling circle.
I guess she's like it's like a gambling circle. She's like running this like illegal gambling thing operation going on. And the thing that turned me off to it was she was narrating the whole thing within like the first 20 minutes. And so within the first 5 minutes, I was like, all right, cool. This is a fun bit. Certainly this bit is going to end soon. And 20 minutes in, I was like, she's still narrating everything. And the narration is not that great, because I believe it's like the same writer who did The Social Network, which I love The Social Network. The Social Network is great.
Aaron Sorkin?
Yes. Yes. This is a Sorkin joint, according to Belinda, because I was texting her about it.
Of course.
And as I was watching it, I was like, all right, this has some Social Network energy to it, like especially in the ways in which like there's so much dialogue and the main character feels like they kind of know it all and all this stuff. But the more and more she kept narrating, the more and more I was like, I don't this is too much. Like they went overboard. Like they went 10 degrees too far in this direction. They should have stopped this like 10 minutes ago. By the time I made it about 30 minutes in, I was like, I think I'm done. I don't think I can watch the rest of this movie. I'm not enjoying it.
Have you watched Gerald's Game, though? You should watch that.
I've not watched Gerald's Game.
Kevin, you enjoy Gerald's Game, right?
I've never seen it. I've just heard about it.
It's scary.
Yeah.
You should watch it. It's good. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, enough about that. Instead, let's talk about Cyberpunk 2077 being delayed again. Brand new Miles Morales details straight from Insomniac. And can I sell you a Last of Us Part 2 guitar? We'll cover all this and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, everything under the video game sun, all while getting the show ad-free and the exclusive post-show we do. If you have no bucks to toss our way, though, it's no big deal. You can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygame. If you're watching live on Twitch, hey, how are you? You have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. It is a huge day. After this, there's some other Kind of Funny program I'm not on, so I don't care about it.
It's Screencast.
Then, Screencast? Are you talking about Gerald's Game or Molly's Game?
Neither. We are talking about...
Do you think we just prepped everybody for that, though? Do you think our insightful movie talk worked?
Well, The Hate You Give. You should check it out. It is a powerful movie.
The Hate
we
You
have
Give?
We have a show on this company called Screencast.
We do. Yeah, yeah. It's hard to believe, Blessing.
You are on Screencast.
Blessing, there's an entire another channel called youtube.com/kindoffunny that does nothing.
It's more successful.
It doesn't have it. First off, that's a fucking lie. All right. Does it have more subs? Yes, it does. Does it get more views? No, it doesn't.
Nobody knows. So let's nobody cares.
No,
about
we
that.
Do. We do. We look at the numbers, Kevin.
I've never once.
Huge day after Screencast at 1 o'clock. Joey and I are streaming Minecraft Dungeons for St. Jude. We are playing for the GCX event. You can watch live on twitch.tv/GCX event 1 to 3:45. We will be hosting, of course, on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames if you'd rather just stay in our chat raising money for St. Jude. It's going to be a good time. That will run right in to the Kind of Funny pre-show for EA Play. Remember, EA Play is at 4 p.m. Pacific time today. Remember, I'm hosting it. Remember, I didn't tell anybody reacting to it anything. So right now, Blessing has all these hopes and dreams for what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. Didn't tell him anything. Have I told you anything, Blessing?
Not at all, but I can't wait for that Anthem info. I'm staring at you to see if you flinch or anything.
I'm looking out the window,
Can't wait for the news.
He looked away.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order 2. Oh, man, I can't wait for the new FIFA game.
Oh, wait, fuck off. So I'll be at 4 p.m. live. I'll be hosting it. You can watch on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as the boys react. Afterwards, I will show up for the post show. Just had the dynamite idea. Actually, I shouldn't tell it to you, I guess, but somebody on Twitter knows what I'm talking about. Wink. Thank you to our Patreon. I had a dynamite idea if I'm just taking a Twitter suggestion, but you know what? Fuck it. I'll take the credit for it. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, Connor Nolan, a.k.a. Connor Dowell, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by the less successful YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen!
Oh my god, what I love about it is I see the document, I can see everything happening, and I saw the first story go away and I was like, what just happened? Who added something to it? And what it is that Kevin went in and tried to resize the image because I was bitching about how small it is.
Worked.
But it's like the Marge Simpson shirt Homer wears. It's all like stretched out and weird.
You want me to put it back?
I can read it. I appreciate it. As usual, Kevin, you are the glue. You are the unsung hero. I love you very much and thank you for everything you do here.
But like, it's all squished together.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Fine. I'll be fine. Yeah, Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed once again, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take it straight to CD Projekt Red's head of studio and co-founder who penned this note together. We have decided to move the launch of Cyberpunk 2077 from September 17th to November 19th. Those of you who are familiar with the way we make games know that we won't ship something which is not ready. Quote, ready when it's done is not just a phrase we say because it sounds right. It's something we live by even when we know we'll take the heat for it. At the same time, we are fully aware that making such decision costs us your trust and trading trust for additional time is one of the hardest decisions a game developer can make. And despite we think it's the right decision for the game, we'd still like to apologize for making you wait longer. Our intention is to make Cyberpunk 2077 something that will stay with you for years to come. In the end, we hope you understand why we did what we did. At the time we are writing these words, Cyberpunk 2077 is finished, both content and gameplay-wise. The quests, the cutscenes, the skills and items, all the adventures Night City has to offer, it's all there. But with such an abundance of content and complex systems interweaving with each other, we need to properly go through everything, balance game mechanics, and fix a lot of bugs. A huge world means a huge number of things to iron out, and we will spend additional time doing exactly that. This week, journalists from all over the world are starting to independently play the game. We are eager, parentheses, and quite stressed to hear their opinions, as well as see your reactions when they publish their previews right after we air Night City Wire on the 25th of June. We hope this will satisfy some of your hunger for the game as we work to polish it for the November launch. Thank you, Markin and Adam over at CD Projekt Red. Blessing. Is this game going to hit November 19th?
I think so. I would like to imagine so, but at this point, like, who knows? I was actually very surprised to see this delay because they've expressed before that they were very confident in their September date. And I went back and read those comments because like they expressed like a lot of confidence in that September date. And that was in the context of COVID, and that was in the context of COVID's effects on Cyberpunk 2077. It seems here that the delay isn't a COVID delay. This is a, hey, this is a big game, and it being a huge open world RPG means that it's going to be buggy. And that just means they need extra time to polish, which I think makes sense, and I think is a good thing that they're delaying. Like, I think this is all good news. The thing that kind of strikes me here is the November 19th date, because that strikes me as a possible, very likely next gen console.
DJ Baumgartner writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can, and says, so Cyberpunk 2077 just got delayed to November 19th. With their close ties to Xbox, can we make an educated guess that the Xbox Series X is coming on that day too? If this is true, it would likely mean PS5 would be out November 12th, right? Is my logic sound, or am I jumping to conclusions? BJ, you're jumping to conclusions and speculating, but that's all we do on this show, so let's get into it. Bless, do you think this is the release date now for the Xbox Series X?
I mean...
Blessing, don't try to dance around it. You're dancing. I can
see it. No, but could be. Like, that's not a bad day. Well, actually, when is Black Friday? Is Black Friday the week after that, or is that the week
That'd be the
Black
week after, because it's the Friday after Thanksgiving. So, basically, what we're looking at here, the 19th is going to be a Thursday. November 19th, 2020 is a Thursday. Black Friday or Thanksgiving would be 1 week later on the 26th, with the 27th being Black Friday.
So, that, I mean, if you were to ask me, hey, Bless, when do you think, what's a date that you think the Xbox Series X could release? Like, November 19th would probably be the first date I jumped, or not 19th, but November probably 20th would probably be the first date that I jumped to as far as a console release date. Like, that would make sense. I don't know if this specifically aligns with that, though. Like, we've heard before that the Cyberpunk 2077 next gen version or Xbox Series X version isn't going to be ready for Xbox Series X launch. So I'm not sure.
I want to credit to the one and only Jeffy Grub. Of course, you know him. I know him. Games Beat. Remember, his new name is Jeffy Grub, even though he's in chat as Jeff Grub. Don't listen to that anymore. He is the one who said right here, 29 minutes ago on Twitter, this could launch alongside Xbox Series X / PlayStation 5, but CDPR has not said that the Xbox Series X / PlayStation 5 optimized version is coming on November 19th. In its smart delivery blog post earlier this week, Microsoft implied that optimized next-gen versions are coming later.
Yes. And so I don't know how much sense that makes then for them to want to align with the next gen console releases. Like, with backwards compatibility, like, yes, we'll be able to play Cyberpunk 2077 on the PS5 theoretically and on the Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
But if there's not an optimized version, then what sense does that make to then line it up with that console release? So that's kind of where that argument kind of gets thrown out the window for me. Yeah.
I think it still lines up as a cromulent argument in the way that if you're going to the store and you're buying these, or you're ordering them or whatever you're doing, you're getting a new console, you want something fucking rad to play on it. And so even if it is that, It's we're leading with Xbox Series X, of course, because they had the whole marketing campaign, it seems, together already and been making a big deal about it. I feel like if it's that or it's a PlayStation 5, whatever it may be, it's the idea that putting it in just natively backwards compatible games are going to look better. I guess Xbox Series X is different terminology and I'm not getting into it, but you understand what I mean, that it should be loading faster, it should be running better, it should be giving you an optimized experience. And so if you can have that optimized experience with a game that's going to take you however many hundreds of hours, why not?
Yeah. And so I could see that being the case, like that being the reasoning behind it. But I do believe them in the sense that they're probably pushing more so due to polishing and bugs, and less so.
Oh no, I believe it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, like I imagine that's like the forefront reasoning, and there's probably like some talks behind the scenes of like, all right, yeah, let's move to this date because this is gonna be the next gen console push, and that'll then give us that boost, quote unquote, in terms of. Yeah, the literal boost we get with the consoles, but then also the boost in eyes on the game with people picking up their next gen consoles.
For a console launch cycle we're running into that is going to be so much of, as always, hey, you're getting these games at launch. You know, how good is Bugsnax going to be? We don't know how long. You know, we're about to talk to about Spider. We're not going to talk to Miles Morales. We're about to talk about Spider-Man Miles Morales and how it's more of a lost legacy. I think this console generation being one, even when you look at the PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 switchover, being something that your next box isn't you leaving everything you've done behind, right? Your next box is, in fact, bringing over all your franchises and your successes and your backwards compatibility. I think having a huge game that everybody's super anticipating benefits you, even if it isn't optimized for your console.
I can see that. I think that makes sense. And I also think this then makes that that launch lineup look more exciting, even though like it's hard to really consider this like a launch game versus not a launch game because it is a previous gen title, but I feel like we'll still look at it as a launch game, especially if this lines up with the release of the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. And so I think in that sense, it's also kind of exciting picking up a PS5 and getting to play Cyberpunk on it.
Totally. Yeah, because that's the thing we all want when we get these new consoles, right? Is getting something that is fucking awesome that you get out and you get to go with, right? Murph Dad says here in the not chat, actually, you're wrong, so I probably shouldn't do it, but Cyberpunk has an Xbox One X special edition. Aligning the releases would potentially hurt the Series X sales, but then again, Microsoft may not care. It's the ecosystem, baby. I think it's interesting pointing out, isn't that already out, though? I thought the Cyberpunk one was already out.
Yeah, I think that already came out, and I think we're just waiting on the game to come out at this point.
Yeah, I think that's the one that had the first digital redemption, like you put it in or whatever. Hold on. And it was, you don't get a code for it. It's already tied to the console or whatever. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that the console itself is out right now. It's sold out right now, so I guess that's earning it.
Yeah, you would not put it out
I have it next to me. So yeah, that doesn't fly for me. Sorry, Murph Dad. Fuck off.
That would be a mistake to put out an Xbox One bundle on the same day. Xbox Series X. It's like, what are you doing?
Over here, I have another question for you. 2038 Pokemon CEO says, Greg and Blessing, I noticed in Cyberpunk 2077's press release, they mentioned press previews will likely go live shortly, or will go live shortly, not likely, they will. Despite the ongoing pandemic, game previews are still functioning in some way. How are game previews working with the current state of the world? Do you download the preview to your system and are required to delete it afterwards? Is the press going to events with CDC guidelines? Are previews taking place over Zoom and you control them remotely? Not naming names at all, because some of them I haven't even done yet. But I the other day to one of the big video game people, I had to send detailed specs on my fucking computer. And let me tell you, as Greg Miller, that was like pulling teeth because I was looking around the system files and the whatnots and what I don't know. And one of them, I just, because they made it seem easy, Kev. They put the step-by-step, but I tell you, as soon as I hit the start button, there was no system button. There was no system button like they were talking.
You go to Specsies, and it
and so I just, one of the questions I literally just answered, I'm like, it will be able to play your game. It played Half-Life Alyx. I was like, done, just go. Don't worry about it. There's a couple third-party programs people are using so that you can dial into their thing and then play the game that way and use it that way. And then they're capturing footage locally and they send you footage that way. You don't have to worry about doing that stuff. There have been different Zooms and digital press conferences we dial into and somebody else plays the game for you, similar to like a hands-off E3 demo. There's a whole bunch of different ways they're happening. Smaller games, I think, you know, the indies or whatever, they don't mind just sending you the preview EXE and having you delete it afterwards. So there's a bunch of different ways people are coping. It'll be very fascinating, I think, for what this means for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X of how do we do that? Where do we go play those? Is there going to be like, you know, for PS4, there was a big New York event. Like, are we doing that again?
How do you think that, like, do you have any predictions on how both Microsoft and PlayStation go about that? Because that's the thing that I think we talked about early in the year, and as we've kind of gotten to where things are now, like, it's very difficult to imagine some sort of event that pulls people together to play consoles and have their have hands on actual like machines. Do you think they eventually cave and they're like, all right, we're gonna do a social distance this physical event, or do you think we're just not going to have our hands on the PS5 before the PS5 comes out?
I think they will do socially distanced either events or visits. I think we will get to that point because I think even, you know, I can talk more freely about this later and how we are doing things in a new world of producing content. But I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. I think you'll have a much more limited scope of, you know, I mean, I it would be one of those like, man, I'm hope we're on that list kind of thing. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was they coordinate with. You know, for PlayStation, Xbox, let's just say PlayStation, not because I'm being biased, just because it's what I know best and what I think they would do. Either by the time we get lined up to this, things are better to an extent, then I imagine it would be, if people are able to go back to offices and work and feel comfortable, we're doing something at the San Mateo PlayStation office, we're doing something in LA, we're doing something in the New York office, right? And it's going to be either they get, you know, one giant room and like spread everybody out 6 feet apart and have, you know, the cleaners there and everything ready to go, or it is they have one room they disinfect and bring people in like throughout an entire week, right? I think, you know, again, for anonymity's sake, somebody else who's booking us for something else to play demos, right? In the old days, it used to be, we are doing a preview event on this day and that day. What day do you want to come? Morning or afternoon session, right? One of the ones I just got booked on is like, hey, we are doing previews for this game that isn't out yet, and we are doing it across this week and a half period. like, what would work for you? Where would you want to book? And like, because now you can just do it digitally. It's easier that way. I think that PlayStation would do something like that in terms of like, hey, we're having like a week of PS5 previews for everybody in their local markets. And I don't mean everybody. I mean IGN's, GameSpot's, hopefully Kind of Funny's. Come down here and do that on your day. I think it could also be that, all right, we're going to come to your house. It'll be outside. It'll be a no contact delivery of a Pelican case with the PlayStation 5 in there. You know what I mean? Again, in to the point of what I'm making of like how small the pool would be, this would be limited to the people they trust the most. Like, you know what I mean? They want to be able to go do this to Joe Blow YouTuber, right? And I think they would definitely have you sign your life away in a way that we usually don't with NDAs. Like, you just sign or whatever, forget about it. I think this one would be very clear. Like, you're not doing this. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard, or I don't know if names have been named, but there are video game publishers and developers out there who are like, if you're not playing the game for review, it's in a lockbox underneath this thing, kept in a secure room that has to be like, holy shit, you know what I mean? In the old days, Nintendo used to come and bolt down the DS thing for you to preview games and then unbolt it from the desk and leave with it. Like, I think we'd get back to that in a way of kind of having like the nuclear football where they would drop it off to you and let you have it for a day or whatever to make whatever coverage you want and then bounce out. But I do think it's going to be drastically different. I, of course, would love it if we could bounce all the way back, right, and have it be that cool, you know, it's a New York event, it's a whatever, it's an LA event, we're gonna have everybody in a hotel again ready to play all this stuff, but I doubt it.
Yeah, and part of me think that like PS Now and xCloud could possibly be some sort of solution for that, but
for Xbox maybe, but the problem is like, on top of Google Stadia, and this is me dunking on them, but Google Stadia leaking the, you know, the Gods and Monsters demo for Ubisoft, right, by accident, that's like the nightmare. But for something as big as the PlayStation 5 / Xbox Series X, like, you don't want that to look, it's 1080 compressed. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't want that to be that there's even a momentary lag, because then what, all the previews are going to be, yeah, I played Spider-Man Miles Morales and it looked good, and I can imagine what it would look like if it was running natively. Yeah. And I think at that point, it's best not to even do it. At that point, I would say, if I'm in the boardroom and they're like, we're looking at PlayStation Now for this, I'd be like, fuck that. We're doing a state of play. Everybody can see it that way, and then we'll release the 4K footage afterwards, and they'll watch it that way, and everybody will talk about how great that looks. Like, we're in this interesting spot where video game publishers and developers can still talk to you, the audience, and you can still get most of the information. You're just missing that middleman that is us, that is the influencer, that is the press person that goes and plays the game and talks about how it feels and what they felt and what emotions were conjured out of it. You watching them play it is pretty close, you know what I mean? Like, Ghost of Tsushima, right? Ghost of Tsushima is going to fucking launch without ever having had a hands-on preview event. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's similar to The Last of Us Part 2 review we just went through, right? Where there was the preview embargo, where it was like, cool. What was it, like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where it was like, you can, if you're reviewing it, you can talk about this one chapter of the game, this one section of the game, and go from there. Ghost will probably be like that. I imagine that we'll sign away our life, we'll get the thing, and there'll be a, hey, the review embargo lifts this date, but the preview embargo lifts this date. Talk about this one mission where we can go in there and be like, yeah, it does feel like Assassin's Creed, but X, Y, and Z, or it doesn't feel like Assassin's, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like, then to wrap your head around a console launch, to like, can you imagine if the PlayStation 5, and it will not, but can you imagine if the PlayStation 5 launched without anyone touching the DualSense? Like, nobody knew what the fuck any of that felt like until we got it out of the box at home. Holy shit.
Yeah. That'd definitely be like a weird thing in a way where I kind of think they could get away with it as Sony, just because like there's not going to be really a huge change aside from reviews of the console itself are going to get pushed, and impressions on the hands-on and stuff is going to get pushed. And everybody's going to have to experience that thing together.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's necessarily on Sony's side, the end of the world, to then be like, all right, yeah, we'll just, it'll get lifted when it gets lifted. Everybody will be able to experience this thing together.
Yeah. But, and that's, you're 100% correct. And I don't, right now, it's that same thing as always, where it's going to come down to launch lineup. It's going to come down to how good the games look and review and stuff. And so, does anybody care? Like, you're gonna buy PlayStation 5. You're watching Kind of Funny Games Daily, and I shouldn't say that. Guess what? You're watching Kind of Funny Games Daily. I assume in your lifetime you are going to buy the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X. And I would assume right now you know if you're doing that at launch or if you're not doing that at launch, or in the first year, let's say, because maybe you are really waiting to see like what Xbox's first party lineup will look like, and you're deciding which one you want. I think you get into this weird thing of, even if, remember like the PS3 launch, and they were like, fuck DualShock, that's stupid, it's just 6-axis, and we all picked up the controller like, this feels like a baby's toy. This feels like a waste of my money. And like, granted, it didn't sell well, but people still bought it. People knew eventually there'd be DualShock again. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening here where it's so different. 2020 is so different for all of us, but on top of that, how different it is for video games and how different it is for the usual pipeline of video game reviews and previews, that I think it is mind-boggling to sit there and think about. There is a possibility that these consoles launch without us ever having really played them.
Yeah,
I think that PlayStation and Microsoft will move heaven and earth to make that happen. I think they will. Xbox especially, because I think Xbox especially knows that they need to have everybody out there evangelizing how great this box is and how much they like the services and all the bells and whistles on it. And again, I've seen other video game it's all about reading the tea leaves, seeing how comfortable everybody is. When COVID had initially started and we initially started doing the shelter in place, but we didn't, I at least didn't really understand how serious it was, a unnamed video game publisher had hit us up and been like, hey, would you be down to play this game as a preview? We'll bring it to your house. But we'd want the PR person to sit in your house and be like, just doing their, it's a publisher and people I know. I'm like, oh yeah, sure. And like, I sent the email and I was like, wait, no, isn't the whole point of this that I'm not supposed to be around other people like at all? Like, and I was like, and they were like, we've already canceled that plan. That was dumb. Sorry, we're figuring it out. And it's like, no, everybody's figuring this out as you go. And I think somebody would have to figure this out as they went in terms of what the fuck you're going to do for launching a console and having somebody play it.
To rewind all the way back, do you think Cyberpunk could get delayed again? Do you think this is the final delay, or do you think there's a possibility that this game can get pushed to 2021?
I definitely think there's a possibility it could get pushed to 2021. I don't think that is because the game's off the rails. I don't think that's because the game's bad. I think it's just how CD Projekt Red is, and they understand their reputation and they understand their quality bar. And I could easily see that they get closer to this November launch date and they're like, fuck, man, we just figured out that if it's just like it's like Fallout of New Vegas, right? We found out that if you wear a hat on this strip, everything goes away, right? Or yeah. Skyrim, where if you left this door open on this thing, you know, this fucking eats everything and blows it up. Like, I could see them. I can only imagine, based on what we know from the 2E3 demos and have seen, right, how in-depth that game is and how wide that scope is, that there's so many different things to check. And it's not as easy as just doing a couple playthroughs with a couple hundred people. Like, you have to actually get in there and figure it out.
That'd be wild. Like,
wild indeed.
That'd make 2021 a little bit more exciting, even though it already is kind of gearing up to be a bit exciting with the games we got from the PS5 reveal event. But I think that Tim's statement early on about how Final Fantasy VII Remake could end up being the last big game of the year, yeah, right? Like, you know, turned out not to be true, because now we're getting The Last of Us Part II. But in a way, right, like, the spirit of that could still carry on with Cyberpunk being delayed. And of course, like, that's less a COVID thing and more so like just a polishing thing. But even still, I don't know, this year, the rest of this year is gearing up to be pretty interesting as far as what games are left and how, I guess, the larger game conversation is going to play out, especially toward the end of the year and game of the year and all this stuff.
100%. Number two on the Roper Report, we have Spider-Man Miles Morales details. This is from Insomniac's Brian Horton. He wrote over the PlayStation blog. In Insomniac Games, we've loved the character of Miles Morales for a long time. It started years ago when Brian Intihar, creative director of Marvel Spider-Man, suggested that we should have Miles Morales be part of the same universe as Peter Parker. We sneakily introduced him at the end of our E3 2017 demo, surprising the audience when they thought the PlayStation briefing was over. As we continued with the Marvel's Spider-Man universe, we knew that Miles' origin story as a Spider-Man was something that needed its own game. Miles' multicultural background reflects a more modern, diverse world, and we wanted to give players a new story with new set pieces, fresh villains, and unique quests across Marvel's New York City. This had to be a can't-miss next adventure in the Marvel's Spider-Man universe. Let's set the scene for the game a little bit more. It's now wintertime, about a year after the events of the first game. Marvel's New York is covered in snow, and just before Christmas break, a war between an energy corporation and high-tech criminal army has broken out. Miles' new home in Harlem is at the heart of the battle. We know a lot of you want to know how big the game is. Our team at Insomniac has been working incredibly hard to bring you a fantastic Miles Morales adventure since we concluded development on Marvel's Spider-Man. You'll experience a full story arc with Miles, one that's more akin to a game like Uncharted: The Lost Legacy in terms of overall scope. Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, is an important, heartfelt, emotional, and essential experience to expanding the Marvel's Spider-Man universe, and we hope it will be for you as well. We are also excited for the game to demonstrate the power of the PlayStation 5 this holiday. Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales will show off near instant loading, ray tracing, 3D audio, and the DualSense controller. We've upgraded our characters with 4D scans and improved skin shading for more realistic looking characters and spline-based hair that moves far more naturally. I've been saying for years, bless, I love spline-based hair.
That's spline-based hair is my favorite kind.
Many of the city's assets have also been updated to take advantage of the new console. As you experience Miles' story, you'll see, hear, and feel things in a whole new way thanks to the PlayStation 5. It's been amazing to be creative director on Marvel's Spider-Man, Miles Morales, working with such an incredible team. I joined Insomniac near the end of Marvel's Spider-Man, and being able to collaborate with our team and Marvel to create a new story and experience all around Miles Morales has been a career highlight. It's been great to work with Brian Intihar, who directed the first game, as he continues to imagine big things for the Marvel's Spider-Man universe. That's Spider-Man 2. He's talking about Spider-Man 2. Oh, and one last thing. Many of you fans have wondered if Peter Parker is okay. I never did. For the record, I never did. I was never
I never thought about that either.
Shit, they're showing a Miles game. Is Peter okay? Don't worry. We still have much of Peter's story left to tell. But this time is all about Miles, a critical part of our Spider-Man universe, and you don't want to miss what happens. Thank you so much for the incredible reaction to our game last week and for all the kind words on social media. We're looking forward to getting to spend more time with you in the coming months to reveal more of the game we've all been working on. Blessing, let's get fucking hype, son.
Yeah, this is all great news. This is all great information. Me and you were wondering earlier about how they're going to sell this game, right? With it being a bit of a scaled back experience compared to something like Spider-Man 2018, right? I think we all got the impression when it was first revealed that it was going to be an Uncharted Lost Legacy type of experience. At least all of us here are kind of funny. I know for the wider industry and for the wider audience, I think people kind of took a lot of mixed things because there wasn't really like a clear line they defined as far as what Miles Morales is compared to Spider-Man 2018. But I think for us, we originally took it as an Uncharted Lost Legacy type of game. And so I know me and you were having the conversation earlier about how they're going to sell this game as a launch PS5 game that is taking advantage of all the features of the PS5 that should sell you on getting a PS5, but at the same time being an experience that is piggybacking off of the PS4 game. And that is going to be scaled back comparative to the PS4 game. And so for them to talk about how, like, yes, this is a Miles Morales story. Yes, we're doing different things in terms of, hey, this game is now taking place during the winter because
let's make it look different.
Let's make it look different. Let's give it a different feel. It's taking place a year after the first game, and it's focused on Miles' story now that he's living in his new home in Harlem, right? Like that is giving great story context and great context for why this game is going to feel and convey differently. But then also for them to get into some of the technical details about 3D audio, we're looking into how we can use the DualSense controller. They talk about 4D scans, which I have no idea what that is, but that sounds really cool. the spline based hair that moves far more naturally, right? Like those are the things that I think are hopefully going to make this game feel like a PS5 game. Granted, I don't know, I have a feeling that when we actually play Miles Morales, it's not really going to feel that different from Spider-Man, even with the things they're talking about. Like, all the things that they say here, like, these are all cool. These are all cool features. These are all cool updates. These are all cool upgrades from a PS4 game. But I can't imagine I'm going to play this game and be like, oh, yeah, this is what the PS5 can do. I imagine I'm going to play this game and be like, oh, yeah, cool. Miles Morales, Spider-Man, sweet. Oh, also, these reflections look really cool. And I imagine that it's going to stop around there. But I'm also fine with that. This all sounds good to me.
Yeah, this is what I want to hear out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad. I know that they've said it, and obviously there was the back and forth with some weird European VP of business development. It's like, oh, this is an expansion. And they're like, no, fuck, it's not. I like the idea that it's Uncharted Lost Legacy size. Obviously, I'd love a bigger one, but I also want them to be working on Spider-Man 2. Wintertime sounds great. I love that we're talking about Harlem. I love that we're talking about this war between an energy corporation and a high-tech criminal army. And then, yeah, like, again, for me, what I want right now in my, you know, pea-sized brain, and I think a PlayStation 5, like, near instant loading, awesome. Ray tracing, I know that looks really good because of the stairs the Hellblade people showed. 3D audio, sure. DualSense, whatever. Upgraded characters, yeah. I mean, like, for your launch games of PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, for that matter, but here, PlayStation 5, it comes down to the little things. You know what I mean? The things you're going to marvel at and go, man, this is next gen, is look at the hair effect. Look at this thing. Look at the way lights are reflecting off of people's faces. I know that was one of the big things people have been showing with screenshots of Miles Morales. The fact that like the way the purples are reflecting off of his face and things like it is going to be that thing of making it look good, making it run good. And not that the bar is high because Spider-Man did all those things well as well. Spider-Man looked great.
Yeah.
Spider-Man ran well. Like, you know, the loads, yeah, sure, the fast travel loads in the subway, whatever, but like they were fun too. It's going to be interesting to see what you can do with this to put it on that other level. But they're saying all the right things. And I do love this paragraph where they're like, but this game is all about Miles, a critical part of our, you know what I mean? Like, I'm glad in a short version of this game, I don't need Peter to be more than a phone call. I'm sure at some point we'll talk to him on the radio. He'll be doing
something.
Yeah,
that's my thing. I imagine the way I see it, or the way I'm predicting it, is Peter is going to be your man in the chair, like the guy in your ear who's talking you through things, right? I imagine that, because like I'm trying to remember how Spider-Man 1 ended to know where Peter's at. But you know, Peter's not like on vacation anywhere, right? You imagine that Peter is helping Miles through this process. You imagine that Peter's in, helping Miles be a good Spider-Man, and with that, like, I like it for Peter to kind of be the man in the ear that is guiding you, and that is like,
I don't think that's what it's going to be. This
process, really?
If I was going to predict this one, right, because I already have my whole Spider-Man 2 prediction down, what I would predict is that this is way more a Spider-Man Homecoming, Iron Man, Spider-Man relationship, where Pete's like, he calls Miles in the middle of the night or what, and he's like, hey, you've been training to be Spider-Man. I've been doing you all these different things. I have to go. The Avengers need me. You know, I'm going off world or whatever on some secret mission. Silver Surfer's here. I don't know, whatever they want to fucking pull in, right? Or just send him to another coast or another city. Maybe you could be lame and he's on assignment, but he's going somewhere, I think, to investigate. Nick Fury's got him in Europe or going after Doctor Doom or something really cool like that, right? But he basically wakes him up and tells him that, right? At the start of the game, he's like, you need to be Spider-Man. He's like, just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, right? Just take care of Harlem or whatever. Just sit, you know, stay local, but make sure everything's okay. And then he bounces. Mm-hmm. And I think we get a couple calls that are like check-ins, and you probably get the classic Miles is in over his head, but doesn't want to say it. And he's swinging through the city and he's talking to him in his earpiece, right? Of like, no, everything's good. What was that? Nothing. I gotta go. Like, that would be my take on it. But again, that is something already that sounds tropey and that's already happened. So will it happen? Who knows?
Who knows? I do love the Uncharted Lost Legacy comparison. Also, I want to point out, because I know people have different takes as far as what the game is going to be scale wise and how like we prefer. I mean, I would love a $60 full Miles Morales game.
Sure.
That said, for me, Uncharted Lost Legacy is still my favorite Uncharted, even as a $40 game. Like to me, they could have charged $60 for Uncharted Lost Legacy, even though optically that then looks weird because fans would then compare Lost Legacy to Uncharted 4 and be like, well, Uncharted 4 was so much more content. But either way, Uncharted Lost Legacy is a full game, feels like a full game, feels like a different experience. And for me, if Miles Morales is able to do kind of live up to that same potential that I think Uncharted Lost Legacy lived up to, then yeah, I could see a point where I'm like, oh yeah, I think I like Miles Morales more than Spider-Man 2018, right? And I don't think it being whether it is in terms of game length or whether it is in terms of the game scale or whatever, in whatever way that it feels smaller than Spider-Man 2018, I don't necessarily take that to mean it's going to be worse in any way, right? Like,
yeah,
it's going to be a different story. It's going to be piggybacking off of the mechanics and probably piggybacking off of a lot of the technologies that were in Spider-Man 2018. But like, I want to point out a tweet from Jason Schreier that he tweeted out this morning that I agree with, right? He says, game developers often say that it only really feels like you know how to make a game once you've already made that game. That knowledge plus tech tools, etc., can lead to really good stuff. DLC doesn't sell well, so those small scale standalone games are the perfect solution, right? Yeah. And I agree with that in terms of they've made Spider-Man 2018, and through making Spider-Man 2018, Insomniac is now in a place where they know how to navigate with those mechanics. They know how to navigate around those tools. They know how to they have the world established. They have those mechanics established. And so in the ways that we got the DLC, which I know reception of the DLC isn't as good as the reception of the base game, I feel like having this time and having this new character having this new main character in Miles and having this probably like refreshed inspiration with this new story, I have very high hopes that Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to feel like a very new experience and a very like an excellent experience regardless of its scope or size.
100%. Yeah, I can't wait. And I think that you're nailing all the parts that, yeah, make me excited for it, let alone the fact that it's on PlayStation 5 and hopefully that'll run it and look great. A couple things from your wrong that aren't your wrongs, but I'll allow them in. Kobobs points out, at the end of the third DLC, MJ mentions going to Simcaria, Silver Sable's home country, to cover a civil conflict. It's possible that Peter is there with her and left NYC so he can grow on his own. It's true. I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, like he went there to shoot for the Bugle or something, or no, I guess not for the Bugle anymore, right? But shoot photos or whatever. And then Dan Rolls 2020 says, it looks like we'll be swinging with Peter at NYC at some point in the Miles game, according to concept art from Insomniac that was featured from their video this morning. And it's an image here with Miles and Peter in the background swinging. To be clear, I'm not saying we never see Peter. I think the start of the game could easily be training. Here you are. Here's your suit. We're running around doing our stuff or whatever. And then somewhere in there, you transition to, I have to go. I have to go be, MJ needs me in Simcaria or whatever.
Could you imagine like a companion kind of experience like we get with Naughty Dog games, but for Spider-Man, where it is like, say, in the beginning of this game, you're playing as Miles and then you have like Peter kind of guiding you and teaching you. And then
totally
in the next Spider-Man game, Spider-Man 2, you're playing as Peter and you have Miles as kind of your companion character that is there fighting alongside with you. Like that could be a really cool idea.
Hell yeah, that'd be awesome. Number three on the Roper Report, it looks like Jonathan Dornbush at IGN.com got a Crash Bandicoot puzzle and a section is missing. Kevin, can we take a look at this?
Whoa.
That's a simple one for you. Dornbush, Jonathan Forbidden West Dornbush tweeted today, received a mysterious puzzle from Crash Bandicoot and some pieces are missing. It's some weird Crash thing. I don't know if that's I don't know Crash well enough to know if that's
I've never seen that thing before.
Okay, cool. So that's some kind of new thing.
I think that is a new. I assume
you're wrong if you don't know. It came with a card here. It says a little something to help you pass the time, and time's all capitalized. Your favorite Bandicoot. I would say it's indicating the time until they announce a new Crash Bandicoot, a much rumored Crash Bandicoot.
I took it as the new Crash Bandicoot is going to have like some sort of like time mechanic, theme.
What if what if he's part of Rift Apart?
Crash Bandicoot, my God. You know what I mean? I would love it. Like, that's not going to be the case, but I want that so bad. Like, an Avengers style 3D platformer kind of game where it is, hey, here, and it can even just be limited to PlayStation, where they're like, all right, yeah, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. He's traveling through the different dimensions. He meets Knack in one of the dimensions, and Knack announces Knack 3, and then he goes to a different dimension. He goes to a different dimension, you know, meets Spyro, then meets Crash and all that stuff. Like, I think that could be a really cool idea for a game, but that's not going to happen. But I'd love it. But yeah, this seems cool. I'm excited to see what Crash thing we get. I hope Tim Getty is excited.
What an absolutely rude thing to do. Send them a puzzle with missing pieces?
The chat says over here that Jeremy Dooley from Achievement Hunter tweeted out one, and that it's a completed version. But as usual, Jeremy appears to be one of them clowns who doesn't have himself tagged properly on Twitter. So as I search his fucking name, even though I follow him, can't fucking come up with Jeremy Dooley.
Yeah, I'm seeing it right now.
Some shit like that.
I don't know if that's
to assets, please.
I can't find him, Kevin. I can't find Jeremy.
You're not
Dooley.
Listening to Blessing, who just said
I can't find him.
I'm seeing it right now.
Kevin, I just sent it directly to you on Slack. Oh,
Jesus Christ. I told you two options to do assets. It, and you sent it somewhere
Jeremy
else.
Jeremy N. Dooley.
Because I always forget if Assets is an actual channel or if it's an actual account. I always get it mixed up with the control. And so I just find it easier to send it to you, Kevin.
All right. There it is.
The missing pieces were nothing. There's more crap.
This is IGN trying to make fake news. Is that what you're telling me?
Wow. I don't. Is that what we're doing? Are we confirming right now that IGN's making messed up fake news?
Remember that time we almost time? Sent a bunch
yeah, you know,
of...
Yeah, you hate to see it. A great journalistic institution like IGN start making up fake news.
Also, this
I want to know what happened to the rest of the puzzle pieces.
Oh, wait, Tim Getty just tweeted that out too 33 minutes ago. He has the whole piece too. He misspelled piece in his tweet, but he's got it.
Tim
Getty's got the puzzle?
Out. Spelling's hard. Also, Jeremy Dooley's Twitter handle is just Jeremy Dooley.
No, he's got N. Dooley in there. That screws it up, man.
I mean...
Wait, what happened to Jonathan Dornbush's puzzle? We're not asking the important question here. Did Jonathan Dornbush
lie to the people?
It's
piece?
Fake news.
I don't want to say that Podcast Beyond is in shambles and that he lies to people.
Did he not complete the puzzle? Because in my mind, I was like, certainly the missing puzzle pieces have to do with like a missing piece of the game. Like maybe that's like the name of the game or something cool. But what I'm seeing here is that Jonathan Dornbush just didn't complete the puzzle.
No, but
we're going to call him out. We're going to get some answers here from Dornbush.
Okay, so his tweet points out that he is missing pieces.
Yeah, that is what this tweet says.
But maybe he lied to us. We're gonna get to the bottom of it.
Because everybody else has a full puzzle.
Can you throw
God damn it. Why is his phone off? You know what I mean? What's he doing?
Too many.
He's cracking the atom there at IGN right now. Come on, Andrew, your goddamn phone. You're
trying to find missing puzzle pieces.
He's trying to talk about Minecraft. I've been there. The other thing we have a link for is number four on the Roper Report. There's a bunch of Last of Us 2 merch that's been revealed. Again, ladies and gentlemen, remember the embargoes are all up for Last of Us Part 2. People are streaming it. People are playing it. Be careful out there. The trophy lists are out. My platinum is synced. I'm very excited. However, over on the PlayStation blog and the PlayStation Gear store, they tossed up the fact that they have new Last of Us merch that you can go get. Kevin, I for some reason link I'm clicking on didn't work. Also, can you hear this fucking leaf blower outside?
No.
Really?
No, yeah,
I can.
No, we can't.
Oh, you can't.
No,
yeah, I can hear it.
So you're saying you're better at Kevin's job than Kevin.
Okay, well, right
you
there.
You not hear
went,
that, Kevin?
Yeah, but like that was the first time you actually heard it. And it's very quiet. Don't close the door. You're going to get warm.
I'm going to get so hot, I know.
We're nearing like we're in the last like 10 to 20 minutes of the show. We're fine.
People are fine.
Price412 says he can't hear it either.
I just want to take care of everybody out there.
I got these Beats headphones.
I'm not like Jonathan Dornbush at IGN Miller. Who makes up fake news trying to look like he's important. You know what I mean? I make up the fake news that I'm hot and I'll get hot for you.
The page is, in fact, not working.
If you go to the PlayStation blog, you can find it and click off of there. Maybe the one because
I mean I'm looking at it right now.
You know what I mean?
You're not PlayStation.com.
I got two guitars. You can get a Last of Us Part 2 replica Taylor guitar for $2,299.
Oh my God!
Now, is there a way we can use the kind of funny budget to get me this Last of Us Part 2 2-in-1 backpack? Because I could really use a good backpack. I know I have a backpack literally right there.
You got that backpack there, and then you got the Butterfinger backpack.
The Butterfinger backpack's great.
The Butterfinger backpack is great. I just like backpacks.
Game better with Butterfinger?
I just really like backpacks.
You're never going to use this backpack.
Let me tell you. Well, again, you started at a weird part in the industry. If you can hang on and let the industry kind of get back to normal, by the end of by the start of your third anniversary, you're going to have too many backpacks. You're going to be throwing them away.
Oh, I can't wait. I fucking love backpacks.
You're going to have so many. They're good quality backpacks. Ooh, yeah. Skateboard.
All right, so yeah, basically there's a bunch of Last of Us crap you can buy if you want to spend your money on it. Congratulations, everybody. Blessing, I'm excited to see how many backpacks you get in your video game career, but that's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and pop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, Ruiner is on Switch, West of Dead is on Xbox One and PC, Namco, Museum, Archives, Volume 1 and Volume 2 are on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Waking is on Xbox One and PC, Klaus is on Switch, One Way Heroic Plus is on Switch, Airy Little Bird Adventures is on Switch, Poland Ball Can into Space is on Switch, My Butler is on Switch, Oniwa Explorer Plus is on Switch. Push the Crate 2 is on Switch. Endless Fables Dark Moor is on Switch. Working Zombies is on Switch. Best Friend Forever is on Switch. Destro Bots is on Switch. Space Mouse 2 is on PC. Saint Kotar, the Yellow Mask, is out. I don't have a platform. Bourbon Empire is on PC. Heavy Rain is on PC. Detroit is on PC. Beyond Two Souls is on PC. There you go, Quantic Dream. Outer Wilds is on PC on Steam. QA Neon Platformer is on PC. Westmark Manor is on PC. Landers Black Moon is on PC and Mac. Something Ate My Alien is on PC and Mac. Duck Life Adventure is on PC and Mac. Tainted Grail is on PC. And then Grand Theft Auto is high octane this week with an abundance of double and triple rewards across races, plus a quartet of free vehicles and much more.
I want to get West of Dead. That game looks really cool.
I played it in the Xbox. They put out the early access of it, and I played it there, and I was like, oh, shit, this is cool.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I was going to wait for the full one, which is today, so hell yeah. And it's got Ron Perlman in there, and Ron Perlman's going to fight Ted Cruz, so why not?
I wish it was coming to PS4.
I believe it is.
Is it later?
I thought they announced
that. Coming to Switch later on.
I think it's West of Dead is coming to PS4 and Switch later on.
Gotcha.
I'm double check for you, but I was pretty sure that is what
I
heard.
In that case, I might wait for the PS4 version to play.
That's my boy. Yeah, it's got a release date announcement on PlayStation from 17 hours ago. Let me see if I can scroll to and see when it comes to PlayStation for you. August 5th comes to PlayStation.
August 5th.
Is it on Game Pass right now? I feel like a lot of people are saying it's on Game Pass right now.
I believe it is on Game Pass right now, yeah. Game Pass right now. Fuck, I know Andrew at all.
Is that Game Pass?
No, I don't. I ran out. I had my Game Pass Ultimate up till like 2 months ago.
Huh.
And it ran out. and I didn't renew it because I changed my bank account information because I lost my debit card forever ago.
Talk to us about that. You know what I mean?
New dates for you. Message you guys.
New dates for you. Like,
go for it.
Summer Game Fest is announcing an all new Summer Game Fest. An all-digital, multi-month global gaming festival will host its first ever developer showcase on Monday, June 22nd. Virtual doors open at 10:30 a.m. Eastern / 7:30 a.m. Pacific with the first live performance of the Outer Wilds soundtrack by composer Andrew Prowlow and cellist David Tangney, followed by exclusive game content kicking off at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Fans can tune in on all the major streaming platforms and IGN, GameSpot, and SummerGameFest.com. The Summer Games Fest Developer Showcase will spotlight a select group of upcoming indie and AAA video games, curated by Day of the Devs team and Jeff Keighley, the Game Awards. The June showcase will feature games including The Artful Escape, Black Book, Drake Hollow, The Eternal Cylinder, Foregone, Haunted Garage, Knuckle Sandwich, Panzer Paladin, Sea of Stars, Skate Story, Spinch? Maybe that's a typo, maybe not. Starbase? Yeah.
That feels gross to say.
it's probably a typo. It's probably Spinach. The Night is Gray and Yinglet. Plus world-exclusive debuts from Long Hand Electric and That Game Company with a surprise major AAA reveal hosted live on air by Jeff Keighley. I have not touched base with one Tim Geddes to see if we'd be reacting to that, but why not, right?
The game is, in fact, called Spinch.
Spinch, yeah, that does sound like a slur of some kind. I don't like saying it
because I was like, that feels like I'm calling out a whole race of people that I wouldn't know which.
It's, I feel like that would be like Spinch is the racial slur I'd say to the Jolly Green Giant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, definitely. There is an Urban Dictionary thing that pops up.
What does the Urban Dictionary say?
Well, I'm reading it first, so I make sure I don't say anything
smart.
I regret.
That's a smart move.
All right, I'm not going to say because I don't know.
Look it up if you want yourself. Look it up for yourself. Deals of the day. Xbox Free Play Days are here. Three great games are waiting for you to play this weekend with Free Play Days. Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members can play eFootball PES 2020, MotoGP 20, and Don't Starve Together Console Edition from Thursday through Sunday. Chris Reed over at IGN.com explains, here is some good news for anyone with a gaming PC. You can get The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt for free on GOG as long as you already own it on PS4 or Xbox One or other PC storefronts. And if you don't have a copy, you can get the console version right now on sale for cheap. The promotion runs through June 23rd, so claim your free copy soon. Then, Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz reports, Google has dropped the price of its Stadia Premier Edition from $129.99 to $99.99, though some of the bundle's features have changed since the original release. Most notably, Google is no longer offering 3 months of Stadia Pro for free to those who purchase the Premier Edition, meaning the bundle only contains a Chromecast Ultra and a Stadia controller. Instead of the free 3 months of Stadia Pro, all new users, regardless of whether or not they purchase the Premier Edition, are able to access Stadia Pro for free for 1 month, after which they can either pay $9.99 per month to continue access to 4K streaming and monthly free games, or revert to the free version of Stadia at 1080p and no free games. Stadia blessing.
Stadia.
Reader mail for you. Where do I want to go? Of course, we're brought to you today by youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Maybe you're one of the gajillion podcast only listeners. It would mean a lot to me if you went over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and subscribed to the channel. Let's get the numbers up there and get in front of Kind of Funny again, because this is embarrassing that Nick's over there just making fart noises all the time. Andy's falling asleep to his guitar and everything's happening. Pissing me off, you know what I mean?
Is that what they do on KFAF? I haven't watched KFAF in years.
I'm pretty sure that's all it is. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Sleeping on the couch with a guitar.
Exactly. All right, let's get into a question here. I got an E3 one. Oh yeah, I like this one. Sheep Whisper writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, good morning, Bless and Greg. Now that we're several weeks and several shows into an E3 absent year, what are your honest and unbiased opinions of showcases, reveals, and presentations so far? Has the industry shown that E3 is in fact no longer a necessity and the scattershot approach of information makes it so everyone has equal limelight? Or does the industry in fact benefit from a structured and planned out time frame of E3 so fans and consumers are not left waiting weeks on end for new information? Thanks and stay safe, the Sheep Whisper. Blessing, how do you feel about this spread out, not E3?
I mean, I think I honestly think it's had kind of a little bit of a rough start, but I think as years progress, we're gonna see this format refined and get better. I think we're still in the period where people are trying to figure it out and companies are trying to figure out like what a streaming only space means to them. I think that Inside Xbox show was a good example of, you know, and we're in a weird year because it's a console release year, and so expectations are just off the chain in general. But you know, them coming out and being like, "Hey, we have your first look at next gen gameplay," and that kind of coming through and kind of bombing for all intents and purposes. I think, you know, I think that is an example of, yeah, like we're in kind of a weird space. We're still trying to figure this out. I think the PS5 reveal was awesome, but I think that would have, I don't think that would have changed. They wouldn't have been in E3 in the first place, and so I think optically that wouldn't have changed anyway. I think you would have still gotten the same games. I think you probably would have gotten that on a stage, but that would have been the only difference.
I think, you know, I like that you're jumping to the big stuff because I think that's where our minds go. But for me, it's more the chip damage stuff where I think we've definitely lost something. Leading into it, I was saying, man, I hope everybody still keeps it to that week and does a week of announcements, right? The fact that we're already talking about August events and Jeffy Grub keeps putting up his summer game mess and it keeps getting longer and it keeps going more far out. Like, that works when I'm waiting to see if Rocksteady is going to announce, you know, the next game at this event, or if I'm excited to see what Xbox is going to do first party. But like, when we get to our fourth indie showcase, you know what I mean? And we just worked on the Guerrilla Collective, so this isn't me talking shit about indie showcases, but even the Guerrilla Collective, right, was 3 days, and it's like, that's a long time. And you saw the, you know, ramp down of interest and viewers and concurrence, where it's like, you can come out and have that big thing, but then how do you keep it maintained? And I think if you're going later in the months here, you're going to see that as well. Like, even Keeley's thing, I haven't talked to Tim. Are we reacting to that? Like, the AAA announcement's cool. How long is it going to be? It's 7:30. You have to start balancing that too. Of like, what's 8 in the morning? It's like our normal schedule, and like, are we trying to, you know, space ourselves out? There's also that's Monday, right? So then next week we're for sure reacting to. I'm in November 2020. Next week we're for sure reacting to Marvel's War Table. I want to react to that, right? We're doing the Cyberpunk thing next week. I want to react to that. There's already other stuff on here. I don't know if you've done it. I'm subscribed to the Google Calendar for Summer Game Fest. So on the 22nd, it has the thing here that is the showcase that we just talked about. Then I don't know anything about this. I'm just going off of the official list that's dropped in here, right? Tuesday, the 23rd, I have New Game Plus Expo. So there's something else happening on Tuesday as well. It's like, well, at what point is it just so hard to manage all this? And it's always been that way. You know, I watched the PC Gamer showcase and the Future Gamer showcase. And at some point, with that much stuff happening and that many games in there, it just becomes noise, right? Like, you leave those things, you're like, I know I saw some stuff I liked and I remember this game specifically, but outside of that, what was I excited for? Where does it all go? And then even information where it's like, West of Dead, that's a Game Pass game. Oh yeah, it's coming to PlayStation. I believe so. You know, it's like, there's so much going on right now that it's not that condensed week of E3 where we're all having these conversations and finding new things and going off of it. But I don't know if that's good or bad, because it's going to be good for us in terms of giving it room to breathe and having more excitement and having a summer full of like episodes of game dailies and live reacts that do really well. But in terms of being able to focus our industry and get all the information you really need in one spot, and maybe that's antiquated. Maybe it's like I'm always talking about, where when I started at fucking IGN, I could play everything. I could play every game for a month, but there's no way to do that.
When Jeff first pitched Summer Games Fest, when he was doing that first reveal, one of the things that he mentioned in one of his interviews was that a lot of different devs and a lot of different companies were looking for something that was like an E3, that was, you know, a bigger brand that they could attach themselves to organize all the different announcements going on. And I think in that way, E3 worked so well, because, you know, E3 works as a brand that, one, it only goes on for a week or a week and a half, right? Like, you don't necessarily have to stretch it out over a long period of time. But then also, PC game show can attach themselves to E3 and have people tune in for it with the idea that, okay, yeah, this is an E3 adjacent thing. Right now, during the Summer Game Fest, there's so much noise, and at this point, there's so much fatigue with like, oh yeah, we've gotten the big shows, between Inside Xbox and that PlayStation 5 reveal. And we also got 3 days of Guerrilla Collective and the Future Game Show and the PC Game Showcase. And we know that
VR showcase too.
Yeah, there was an Upload VR thing. There's also Ubisoft Forward, which is coming up. There's also EA Play. And at a certain point,
DC Fandom.
Yeah, now there's DC Fandom. And at a certain point, it's like, all right, like, cool, but I think collectively we don't have the energy to pay attention and tune in for all these things. Whereas if you limit it to a week and a half scope, with E3 being the thing to drive it all, then it's a lot easier to pay attention to and to have that news cycle come and go in a way that weeks after, everybody's kind of gotten out what they needed to get out of it.
And also, I think the thing too is, since and you know, obviously I've said before that I love Jeff. I think Jeff's great. I think he's amazing for the industry. If everybody would have just turned to him and he would have been like, I'm doing Summer Game Fest, and everyone would like, cool, let's just get in line with you, and we have this idea and we're going to work together and we'll do this and yada, yada, yada. And he could have been mastermind of the whole thing. I think it'd be a different thing too. But like, even looking through his list of stuff for the Monday showcase, like, right, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know for a fact Skate Story I saw over this weekend, and I think the Guerrilla Collective, and maybe even in the PC one too as well. But maybe not. It's the Switch. I remember the Switch controls for it. So it's like, We're seeing games get double dipped into different things now. So it's at that point too, where you're just like, when that game comes up, you're like, oh, I've seen this before. And like, granted, I understand you're an indie game. You're trying to get shown as many places as possible. But then at what point does this all feel like Groundhog Day? And we're just seeing the same games over and over again.
That was going to be another thing too, is that I think there is that lack of commitment to Summer Game Fest, right? Between Summer Game Fest and IGN Summer of Gaming, and I always loop in GameSpot Play for All, but I feel like that has proven itself to be an entirely different thing. But between all these different, I guess, overarching brands that are presenting these showcases, it feels like the message has gotten very muddied in a way that, if everybody just committed to Jeff Keighley being Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest being the overall driving thing, and we all commit to having an organized sequence of events and an organized showing for our games that feels clean and feels like get in and get out. I think it could have worked better. And that's why I think that over the years, it will work better.
I think everybody will learn. Blessing. Usually this is where I tell you it's time to squad up. But instead, we have a new segment in place of squad up that's called D-Block Defends Himself. If you remember yesterday on Kinda Funny Games Daily, D-Block wrote in, oh man, Pokemon Switch is out. I just sold my Switch. I have to buy another Switch. And I was like, why the hell would you sell your Switch? And then Gary's like, maybe it was for money. And I was like, well, if that's okay if it is, but what's going on over here? D-Block wrote in and said, to defend myself about selling my Switch, I sold it shortly before the pandemic began in the States. I don't travel much, and I had beaten Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild over a year ago. Tried a bunch of other games, but nothing stuck with me, and it had just been collecting dust. I traded the Switch and my OG Xbox One in towards an Xbox One X so that I could take advantage of the 4K TV we bought on Black Friday. Pokemon Snap was probably one of my top three favorite games on N64. I was 7 when it came out. So now I might have to go out and get a new Switch. D-Block, you played yourself.
You fucked up.
You fucked up, son. What are you doing? Come on. You knew something was coming. All these Mario games. God.
Yeah, that's the thing. I understand selling consoles for new consoles, but don't sell a Nintendo. Don't sell the Nintendo Switch against Xbox Series X, because those are two very unique libraries. That's like a vast reach between the Nintendo Switch and your Xbox One. Sell your Xbox One to get the Xbox One X. That makes sense, right? Because that's an upgrade. Cool. Yeah, sure. You sold your Switch, you made a mistake, and I listened to the episode yesterday, and I was cheering you guys on. I think you guys did a good job of tearing him a new one, and now that I have the full context, I'm with you guys. D-Block, you fucked up.
You fucked up, son. We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, we have two not your wrongs, but I enjoy the information. Well, I guess they aren't wrongs. I'll get into them. I'm saying we have two justified ones and then two people who need to get taken to the fucking cleaners. Kebabs is up first. He says, the mask and crash puzzle was seen before in a PS4 ad following Crash around in his CTR cart. Fans had no idea who it was, and we still don't know. Given the moon symbols and the hourglass earrings, it's clear that the next game will have time travel involved, which the third Crash game Warp did also. Good feedback there. Thank you.
Really cool.
Trevor Starkey, of course, from That Nerdy Site, writes in and says, Best Friends Forever, the dog dating sim game, was still in out today, but is actually delayed again a couple of days due to the COVID complications. They did release a Steam demo, but there is no new date listed. Good feedback there. People who need to break their dick offs. Boars and Double Zero writes in and says, Greg, the six access without the DualShock was created due to legal troubles of the technology behind the DualShock Rumble feature. Once the legal troubles went away, they were able to release the DualShock 3. Did I fucking say that wasn't the fact? When I say something and I insult the six access, do I have to go tell you the fucking history, Borzen? You think I don't fucking know that? You think I don't know why this fucking happened? Break your dick off. Yosemite writes in and says this, Phil Spencer seemed confident people will be able to play the Series X before launch. No idea how they plan on doing it, but I imagine Sony has similar plans to the PlayStation 5. From Eddie at GameSpot, Phil Spencer said he is optimistic about being able to put the Xbox Series X in front of consumers at some point in the future before launch to help them understand the appeal of the new system. But it's unlikely to happen soon due to government restrictions around social distancing. That is an article from GameSpot from Eddie. Hold on, I'm throwing it back up over here to actually get the date on it before I insult Yosemite some more. This is from June 7th, 2020. Here's the problem, Yosemite, is you're wrong your fucking self. You play yourself once again. Phil Spencer seems confident. This is you, Yosemite, people will be able to play. Eddie writes, Spencer said he is optimistic. Yosemite, I am optimistic I'll lose 50 pounds in the next 5 years. I am not confident I will. That is the difference between optimistic and confident, sir, or ma'am, or person. Don't fuck with me, all right? It's very fucking clear what's being said there. And also, I don't know if you know this. I think when we left Kind of Funny, I was very optimistic we would be back in the studio by June or July. Fuck, that ain't happening, all right? So don't come in here with another fucking quote trying to throw that in my face saying that's proof of this. There's a lot of you out there who need to find Jesus or God or just anything, just a right and wrong, because you're on the wrong side of history about everything right now. And I'm frankly fed up about it. And I can't take it much longer. All right? Good Lord. Tomorrow, Blessing is hosting. I'm co-piloting. We're having a good time. If you've enjoyed this show, remember, everybody, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go over there and watch the post show. Who will I insult there? Who knows? Probably Gary Whitta. If you have no bucks to sauce our way, though, and not submit a question, get the show ad-free, get the exclusive post show we do on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, along with a bunch of other stuff, including the exclusive Blessing show. We understand. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Please subscribe. Podcast services around the globe. Please subscribe and rate them and leave a review and do all that jazz. But until next time, no. Oh, remember, there's a bunch of stuff happening. Screencast right after this. Then the GCX event stream for charity. Then EA Play, both live reactions and me hosting. Then a post show for that. Until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.